Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our consideration today comes from the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 30, just a couple verses, 16, 17. Moses says, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. If you obey the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you today by loving the Lord your God, then you shall live. But if your heart turns away and you are drawn away to worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish." This is our text for today. Folks, Moses gives the people a rather interesting choice here. He says, choose between life and death. He's asking them to choose to live or choose to die. He says, choose between good and evil. He says, choose the Lord your God and you will live. You will have the good. Choose any other God and you will perish and experience the evil. Now, the word choose is kind of important here. Important because it can be used in a couple of different ways. First of all, it can mean to select something from several possibilities and to then acquire that item for yourself. You know, it's like walking into the supermarket, looking at a big display of all kinds of different fruit, and going over and taking for yourself the orange instead of the apple or the pear. So you can actually choose to acquire something for yourself. Or to choose can mean to have a preference for one thing or another, a preference for one item in a group of items. In fact, you can think of it this way. To choose in this regard is to desire something, not to actually take it and have it, but to want it. You know, to desire to be healthy rather than ill, to desire to be healthy rather than injured. It's not a physical taking of that, but a mental desire to have it. In either case, it would seem to be a no-brainer, what Moses is suggesting here today. If a person is given the choice between life and death, who in their right mind would choose to die? You know, it doesn't make any sense. It would be totally unexpected for a rational person to want to die rather than to live, or to want to experience evil rather than good, or slavery over freedom, pain over comfort, war instead of peace, sadness instead of happiness. Doesn't seem like anybody would do that. It'd be totally unexpected. So why would Moses even give these choices to the people, and for that matter, to us? Well, the fact is that all through history, people have done the unexpected. They have made strange choices. Choices that, in some cases, turned out to be disastrous. In fact, they have done the unexpected. They have done things that resulted in terrible situations or most unfortunate consequences. So, in effect, this is a warning from Moses based on his experience of what the people sometimes do or have done in the past. So it made perfect sense to him to warn us of the possibilities, to encourage us to consider the consequences of what we decide to do. It is Moses telling us to study the pros and cons of our choices so that we can then make informed decisions. Now, we as human beings have been given free will. Free will means the ability to choose. God gave that to us. He gave it to us to be a blessing. He didn't want us to be robots. He didn't want to wind us up and then program us to perform according to some plan that he had made out, a plan over which we have no control, a plan with a specific beginning and a specific end and a bunch of specifics in between, a plan designed by him without our input or suggestions. That's not what he wanted. Instead, he wanted us to have freedom. Not to be slaves, but to be free. He gave us free will, the ability to choose, because he loves us. He gave us free will so that we can do as we please. He gave us free will to be a blessing indeed. Unfortunately, the first man and woman turned free will from being a blessing to being a curse. They used their free will to ignore God. They used their free will to make a dreadful choice. They used it to choose disobedience, deciding, in effect, to die rather than live, desiring the bad rather than the good, and doing it not only for themselves, but doing it for you as well. Making that choice for you as well, each of you, and for me, and for all of mankind, for that matter. Now, that decision by Adam and Eve to turn away from God no doubt saddened his heart to the very core. This was his most precious creature, mankind. These two had turned away and had taken all of mankind from that moment on with them. Now, his solution to this problem was very interesting. It was not what some might have expected. It was not annihilation and total destruction so that it could be made over right again. Instead, he would offer them a way out. His plan to fix this thing was not to remove the blessed free will from the people, free will that he had given them. Instead, he was going to offer them reconciliation. A reconciliation is the making right of things, and he would do this with no strings attached. He would accomplish it by sending his son to do what we could not do by ourselves, namely to reverse the faulty decision of Adam and Eve, and thus remove the curse, making it possible then for us, for you and me, and for all of humanity to once again be as God created us to be, namely holy, blameless, worthy to be his children, brothers and sisters of his son Jesus, and thereby entitled to a share in his inheritance, namely eternal life in paradise. The good news is that God offers each of us this reconciliation, this making right. The offer is made for the sake of his son, Jesus Christ. The offer is made without any conditions attached to it. The offer is free and without any encumbrance. God extends this offer to each of us on a golden platter. And he says, take it or leave it. The choice is yours. Sound familiar? Well, sure it does. That's exactly what Moses says in our text for today. Remember what he said? I have set before you today a choice. God offers you life, take it or leave it. The choice is yours. God makes exactly the same offer to us, to you and to me and to all people. He says, you can have life in my son, Jesus Christ, here. It is yours, unless you choose not to have it, in which case you won't get it. He tells us that it has nothing to do with his offer, whether we take it or leave it. My offer of life stands, he says. It is yours, unless you turn your back to it. Your refusal to have it is the only way you will do without it. Just don't refuse it, and you will have it. Isn't that the way it is with the offer of any gift? There's a couple of interesting words for you. Offer and gift. I think they are worthy of some consideration. According to the dictionary, to offer something is to present something for acceptance or rejection. You know, to present something that people can take it or leave it. God offers forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. Whether it's accepted or rejected doesn't affect the offer at all. The offer still stands. And according to the dictionary, a gift is something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without cost. So let's see if we understand this correctly. An object is not a gift until its offer is not rejected. That makes sense? You and I are in possession of a very special gift, forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life, paid for in full by God's beloved Son. God has presented it to us. He made the offer. We have not rejected it, so it's ours. Therefore, it is truly a gift offered and transferred to us by God voluntarily without cost. You know, it's kind of interesting. We shouldn't be discouraged with our outreach efforts if they seem not to bring much in the way of results. All we can do is offer. All we can do is present something to people. All we can do is hold out God's grace as an offer to others. If people to whom we make the offer reject it, well, there isn't much we can do about that, except perhaps to continue to make the offer. Perhaps a day will come when they will finally stop refusing it, and then they, like we, will possess the gift. Now, maybe we'll see that happen, maybe not. It'd be neat if we could see it happen and our work bear some fruit, but it may or may not, and we simply do as God does and keep offering the gift. You know, a rather neat example of a reason for continued outreach, I think, is this one. Think of it as though we are trying to pop a kernel of corn. We toss the kernel into a kernel of popcorn. We toss the kernel into the frying pan. We hold it over the heat. And we shake it around a little bit. In fact, we take turns holding it and shaking it. Each of us, I'm sure, hoping that it will pop while we have it. We pass the pan around, each of us hoping that it pops while we're in possession of the pan and shaking it. Maybe it will. Maybe it won't. The fact is, we keep on shaking and passing nonetheless. We keep on sharing God's gift, whether we see it pop or not. We have a wonderful offer to share with the people we meet each day, and we hope that we'll get to see the people not reject it. Maybe we will, maybe not. The offer is very simple. We all know it. You can have forgiveness and security for the future earned for you by Jesus Christ and made available to you by God for free. Maybe we'll see the day when they don't reject it and it becomes theirs as it has become ours. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that you and I have because we haven't turned our backs to God's gift, we have it. May that peace keep us in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.